Good to see you tonight. Go ahead and open your Bible to Ephesians 6. We're going to just jump on in right there. In Ephesians chapter 6, let me open my Bible. Any of y'all still have Bibles? How many of you have abandoned your Bible for a screen? It's hard. I don't know about y'all, but it's hard for me to find things in my screen. I know where it is on the page, so it can be difficult, this transition. Do you like that? I'm like, I'm not sure, but I know it's right here. Let me flip. It's in Ephesians right here. And there it was. Lo and behold. I'm just going to read from verse 18 tonight. It says, praying, before I read, remember last week we talked about the Lord's Prayer, and we kind of, how many of y'all were here? You have some recollection. Yeah, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. But tonight we're going to continue talking about prayer a little bit, a different take on prayer, a little different emphasis. But verse 18, just going to read this one verse. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end for with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's just go back over this for a minute. Praying always. I know it's kind of hard to maybe get the full meaning. We just jump right into a verse. But we're going to do that tonight for the sake of time. Praying always. I think it's safe to say we can all figure out what that means. Anybody got a suggestion of what that means? Always praying. Praying always. Always praying. Now that's just a very strange statement, because it's one of those statements in the scripture that sometimes you discount. You know, well, there's a lot you discount. Let's be real. But this was one you may discount, because you're like, praying always. No, my habit of prayer is I pray when I think about it. Pray when I need something. Pray when I'm desperate. You know, it's not necessarily praying always, but Paul admonished us to pray always. Pray always. And he went on to say, pray always with all prayer. And that's kind of funny. Pray always with all prayer. What are you talking about, Paul? Pray always with all prayer. I think there's some other translations. I'll just quote them for you. A couple of other translations may give us a little more light. Pray always with all prayer. The Amplified says all manner of prayer and entreaty. And the NIV says all kinds of prayer. So pray always and pray with all kinds of prayer. Now that is a surprise to some Christians. That, what do you mean there's different kinds of prayers? You know, praying's praying. And like we teach in our Essential 8 course, if you've been through that, when we talk about prayer, we talk about the fact that prayer isn't just prayer any more than sports is sports. You know, sports is sports, right? So, oh yeah, I played sports. Do you play sports in high school? Any of y'all play sports in high school? So Jose played sport. What sport did you play? Okay. Wow. Who knew this? Football. He played football. All right. Who else raised their hand? I don't want you. You played sports in high school? You did. What did you play? You played basketball. Okay. So we have basketball up here. Basketball and football. Okay. Well, now, sports is sports, right? Now, if you played one sport, you played them all. Am I right? Think about it for a minute. Who's the cheerleader? Okay. Now we're really getting into it. Don't distract me, Kimberly. I have to get through this. Sports is sports. You played basketball. You played football. Hey, you played football. They got a vacancy on the basketball team. Just come on over. You know how to play football. Sports is sports. You play basketball and use your football skills. Imagine showing up with your helmet and your pads. What positions did you play? Wide receiver. So he's out on the basketball court being a wide receiver. He's going to go out wide and either hit a crowd of the bleachers or hit a concrete block wall or something when he goes when he goes out to catch. He's about to run over something. It's not going to work out. Or you show up over there and you have on your, you know, did y'all wear the long shorts? Tell me you didn't wear the short shorts. Please, don't wear the short shorts. You wore the long, good, okay. You come in those long shorts and no pads. Your big ball and your, all right, guys, let's play. I mean, you're going to go splat pretty quick. Sports is not sports. And prayer, all prayer is not prayer. And you can't just pray every prayer for every occasion in the same way that you pray everything. Now, I think most of us here tonight on Wednesday night understand this. But I bring this up because I feel like I've had a quickening from the Lord, particularly this. And it's about the fact that many of us know and understand how to pray the prayer of faith. That's a kind of prayer. There are many kinds of prayer. Y'all remember, if you were here Sunday morning at the end of the service, Grayson got up, did a spoken word, and then he was talking about encouraging you. I don't know if any of you did it. He was encouraging you to go home and consecrate yourself to God. Y'all remember that? And he talked about the night before when he was at home and he felt the need to consecrate himself. And he went in the only room he has in his house, the kitchen. And he went in his little carpeted kitchen area and laid on his face and consecrated himself before God. That's a prayer, a kind of prayer. And it's a prayer of consecration. But it's not the only kind of prayer. But that is one kind of prayer. But there is the prayer, and that's the prayer when you give yourself wholly to God. Not my will, but your will be done. But now, the prayer of faith is the prayer, really, that we pray when we need to receive from what God has promised us, what we just talked about. Right? What we actually sang. What we just sang about. Prayer is based on those things we just sang about. God's promises being yes and amen. So much of the prayers we pray in the context of receiving what God has for us, those are prayers of faith. Does somebody know what the prayer of faith is like? Anybody want to have a go at explaining that to me? All at once now? You know what it is. Go ahead and tell me. Before I call on somebody. I'll call on... Come on, y'all know what the prayer of faith is. Tell us, Kristen.
It's just
pray according to what?
God's will.
Yeah?
In faith.
In faith? Yeah, what does it sound like when you pray a prayer of faith? What does it sound like? God, your word promises you, and you say his whatever his promise is, and then what do you say?
Thank you that it's mine.
Thank you that it's mine. In Jesus' name. Here we go, and I believe it, and I receive it. Yeah, it's a prayer you pray, and you may remind God of the promise he made. It's just you taking hold of what God has already granted to you in Christ Jesus. Any of y'all ever prayed like this? You know, you find a promise in the Bible. You said this. You said this belongs to me, so I don't have to come begging, or I don't have to, you know, call everybody in the neighborhood or, you know, on my social media and get them all to pray for me. I can just see Jesus. This was part of the salvation package Jesus made available to me. See it in the Bible. I believe it. It's a promise. I believe it. And I just, at this moment, take hold of it. One of you said, use in Jesus' name. That's a good thing because it's like signing the check. Thank you for it. And you believe, you receive. It's all based on Mark 11. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So it's the prayer of faith. Now, the reason I bring this up again is because I feel like there's a stirring inside of me, a quickening inside of me, that is the kind of prayer that often that we pray, or that kind of attitude we see. We have a situation that's going on in our lives, and we whip out our prayer of faith, and we're like, God, you're a good God, and you have good things for me, and Jesus paid it all, and, you know, this is a situation that needs fixing, and I believe I receive it fixed. In Jesus' name, amen. And you go along merrily along in your life. Because you just, you know, whipped out the prayer of faith and you used the name of Jesus. You stamped it and moved it, stapled it and filed it away. And, you know, now it's done. But not, let me tell you, not everything in life requires a prayer of faith. And so tonight I want to talk to you a little bit more about you and your life, and maybe why it feels like some days you spend all day long beating your head against a really hard brick wall. I'll come over here to a friendlier side where you and me might need to make some adjustments in what we're doing. And so he says here, pray with all prayer, all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And when I was preparing to, you know, this earlier today, and I was reading, this word perseverance just jumped out at me. Perseverance. Well, one thing I know about the prayer of faith, when I pray, I should remind myself and God what the Word has already said, what God's already promised. I believe, I receive. And, you know, And it's done because God said it, and His promises are yes and amen, just like we just sang. Y'all know the drill. So once I go through all that, amen, praise God, thank you for it. Why do we have to throw perseverance into this mess? You know, why do we have to throw perseverance into this whole thing? And then, I don't know, perseverance is not a word that I like very much. If I got any people here that go along with me, it's not a word I necessarily identify with, you know. But the word perseverance, what is that? So I looked it up. And perseverance means steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. The perseverance is just staying with something no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter if it's taken a long time or if it's, you know, seems like it went from bad to worse. You're just staying steady. So in praying and in your prayer life, which basically is a fancy way for saying in your relationship with God, and when you talk with Him and He talks to you and your communion and fellowship and sharing with Him, that's your prayer life. As you pray, as you walk with God, as you live with Him and walk out your life as a believer, there is going to be required of you this perseverance. But you're going to have to stay steady. Not something we know much about in our day. It's not something that people really are well acquainted with. Being steadfast, steady. I mean, if I don't like it, you know, I swipe. That's what I'm used to. Oh, I don't like that, I swipe. I don't like it, I say, you know, Alexa, next. That's what I do. If I don't like it, there's a lot of buttons I can push to get to the next one. Look, if I don't like it, I can stop. And Netflix has something else for me. So, you know, that's perseverance isn't something we're well acquainted with. We're going somewhere else. But there is evidently a place in prayer of learning to stay and to be steady despite difficulty. That's interesting. Perseverance indicates there could be some difficulty and that there could be some delay. I don't like these words. So not things that I really cherish in the scripture, not my favorite ideas from the scripture, that there may be a period of time where it seems like nothing's happening, and there may be a time where, in fact, I face challenges. But it's all right in there that there's going to be perseverance. Now, getting back to my point tonight, which is that we sometimes overuse the prayer of faith when it's not really what we should be doing. Because you and me, as believers, we have a continuous walk with God. We have a continuous fellowship with Him. And there might be more to it. Now let me, I know I'm kind of talking in vague terms. Let me give you a real life example from my own life. There are some things the Lord has instructed me to do and called me to do, talked to me about doing. Do you have anything like that? I know you do, Arlene. You do. You have something in your heart that you know God's planted there, and you've been working on it. How long have you been working on it? Since 2012, and you're still just working on it. Anybody else have things going on in their lives like that? So you're working on it. You're working on it, and along the way, there are difficulties, there are challenges. It seems like a real big delay in time. And, you know, you wonder, is anything even happening? Was anything happening? Like maybe, you know, whole seasons can go by and you see no movement. And you wonder what's happening and you can get really frustrated. And you think, well, I've prayed about this, you know. And God, you're just not holding up your end of the bargain and you're getting all whatever. But one thing that I have found is that I don't know everything there is to know. That's a big revelation for some of you here tonight. Well, oh, you don't know everything there is to know. There's your revelation. You don't know everything there is to know. And especially when it comes to spiritual things, things about your own life and the future, there's a lot of things that are kind of fuzzy-wuzzy. I can tell you this. Most of my prayer time is spent trying to get clarity. Just trying to, can we have a big fan blow out some of this fog? Because I would like to see a little more clearly what we're doing here. But in my life, as I'm working, you know, and walking and living, I'm needing, of course, I have needs along the way and things that God's promised me specifically in the scripture. And so I believe I receive. But there are things that are just ongoing long-term prayer projects, for lack of a better word. They're just things that I need to pray about. As I'm praying always, this would be something that would sort of be on the agenda. There are things in my life I've prayed about for years. For years. One part of it, you'll recognize. I remember in 2004 praying in a Thursday at noon prayer time. I think it was Thursdays, maybe Tuesdays. But anyway, it was at noon. In that little room over in Columbia Road where we had our offices, it's across from where the Zaxby's is on Columbia Road there now. Place we rented while we were meeting at Augusta Prep. And we had lunchtime prayer there. And we were in there praying this little room. And I remember so clearly. I remember it. It's like I remember a lot of things. I'm sitting there and I remember in front of me, as I'm praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, I see in front of me the words, "I give life." First time I ever saw them, first time I ever had that thought, first time it ever came to me, "I give life." I just saw it. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was from God, and I knew there was something there. But it was something that I didn't really do much with. That was 2004. 2012, how many years later? 8 years later, we wrote the I Give Life course. 8 years of praying, "God, what is this? What do you want me to do with this?" Do you understand? 8 years, Arlene, 8 years. So you're just at 6 years. 8 years. And that was just the beginning of, that was just, you know, when the course was first originally introduced. Now here I am in 2018. How many years is that? No, from 2004. You didn't know you're going to have to do math tonight. I forgot to tell you. Half of you would have stayed home or brought your calculator. Okay, it's 14 years. 14 years later, just had a conversation in the last few days about something happening with I Give Life that's completely like, whoop, whoop, you know, like, whoop. And I'm like, 14 years it took for whoop. So I understand a little bit about perseverance. Perseverance. Now, turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, because I'm going to show you what am I talking about. What do you, some of you really fuzzy-wuzzy. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I'm going to tell you what I've been doing these last 14 years. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." 2004, I see, I give life, just something that comes up in front of me as I'm praying. Interesting, I was praying when I got that. And I've had to do a whole lot of praying since then about it. But I'm going to tell you this. When it came to the idea of I give life and what that was and what it meant, just like you, just like Arlene, what you're thinking and seeing, and all of us, we have something stirring inside that God has for us and who we are and His purpose and His plan. Whatever His purpose and plan is for you, and there is one, even if you have long abandoned it, even if you've given up on it, even if you think you've fulfilled it, even if you think you got it and you bossed it already, because you ain't finished bossing it if you're still here. And no matter where you are in it, God's got this plan for you. Matt talked about it on Sunday, about that blueprint that God has for you, something about your life, your purpose. I can't just pray the prayer of faith and be done. There's some other kinds of praying that need to be done. One of them is what Grayson talked about at the end of the service, a prayer consecration. "Not my will, but your will be done. I give myself to you." But that's not the only prayer. And this right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." When it comes to knowing what God's plan and purpose is for you and the fullness of what He has for you and who He's really made you to be, and maybe you have an inkling, and I think most of us have some kind of inkling. We have some kind of idea. We may have a bigger picture, some one more than others. But there's so many parts of it that, what does this What does it look like, and how will this happen, and who will it be with? And, you know, there's so many things about it that are unknown. We are weak when it comes to this. We are weak. We are weak in this area. I'll tell you an area for me that was a big weakness in my life. Raising kids. Just big time weak. You know, I'm not quite sure I got raised. You know what I'm saying? In my family, I was number four to parents who were workaholics. You know, they got home at 8:30 at night. You know, I was at my granny's most of the time. When I wasn't with my granny, in my granny's, I was with my three older brothers who almost killed me, like every 3 days. I mean, I remember going to school, and they thought it would be funny if they never stopped the car when they let me out. So they would literally, get ready, and one of them would push the door, and they would push me out of the car because they thought it was funny that they never had to stop the car to drop me off. This was my life. So you can understand why I didn't know much about raising kids. True. Do you remember doing it? I can tell so many terrible stories about my brothers and what they did. Oh man, it's bad. But anyway, I didn't know much about it, so it was a big weakness for me. Let me tell you, I didn't just pray the prayer of faith about raising kids. I'd had to do this. I had to do what Romans 8 talks about, because it was such an area of weakness for me. Our spirit helps. I mean, also, the spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know how do we pray. What should we pray? When should we pray? Where Paul tells us we're to pray always. We don't, okay, I'm here, I'm going to pray. Now what? What do I pray? I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know how to pray as I ought. I'm so thankful because the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you do a little study into these groanings, you'll find out that they're groanings that can't be expressed in your language. It's really referring to the languages of the Spirit, which sometimes sounds like groanings. It's talking about praying in other tongues. And one of the things that He enables us to do as we pray in other things, as we pray in other tongues, is to pray about these things where we're so weak. And these places where we don't see, and these inkling things, these kind of knowings, but I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out. And some of the biggest blunders we make in life is kind of having a little piece and running with the little piece and missing God. Because we just got a little piece and we just ran off with it and we didn't do this. We just ran with the little piece. Oh, I heard from God and bless God, His promises are yes and amen, and here I go. And we never spend time with Him praying always with all kinds of prayer. Praying what Romans talks about, praying particularly in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, praying, allowing Him to pray through us. Verse 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints. That's us guys. According to the will of God. He knows the will of God. He knows exactly. You know, the thing you've been working on since 2012? The Holy Spirit, God Himself knows all about it. You just got the little parts. You just know, go to school. You're doing your go to school part. Know about that, Matt? Go to school according to the will of God. It's just like Matt. Here's Matt. Here, I'll give you a good example. Matt, I'm just going to pick on you because you probably haven't been up since, you know, who knows, 5:20. You just had a real easy day, I'm sure, at school with 35 kids, not getting paid, paying them to be there. Okay. But Matt's in student teaching and he's going to finish in December. Well, November 30th, excuse me. The delay has been shortened. November 30th, he finished his student teaching. You know, so here you've been doing student teaching, you're being trained, you know, in Jesus' name, I believe I receive a job. Amen. Let me just give you some advice. I'd do a little more than that. Because a job with who? Where? Doing what? There's a lot more to it than just, I need a job. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of jobs. And you could get a bunch of them. But you want to get the job he's got. Because he's the one that started this whole thing in your life. I remember when he started it. Well, I wasn't there when he really started it, but when you went public with it. I remember it. We all, many of us remember God moving supernaturally, tapping you on the shoulder, saying, Matt, come on. It's not too late. It was big. The fact that you're here is such an amazing testimony to perseverance. Isn't it? This has been a lot of perseverance. But you don't want to mess it up now. You want to get it right. So in addition to the bus duty and the 35 kids and the being at school at 7:15 and the staying really late and all the things, somewhere along the way, Romans 8 has to come into play. Praying always. Somewhere it fits. Because he knows the will of God. And then that's when verse 28 comes into play. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? But things don't always work out when you don't avail yourself to the benefit of the Holy Spirit and allowing him to pray. And Eddie, this is what Eddie talked about Sunday morning. You know, for some reason, tonight's message is about Sunday morning. Eddie talked about Sunday morning. He was talking about an offering message about when they closed his road where he had a retail business, and he's supposed to somehow or another pay his bills, but no customers can get to the parking lot to drive into the business. Now, good luck with that. So, what do you do there? And finally, that drove Eddie to pray. And so he started to pray, and he prayed for a bit. He prayed, do what?
Just being honest.
He finally said, okay, yeah, maybe I should pray. And just out of that desperation that he felt, he started praying. And as he prayed, God gave him a solution. But it came from this. It came from praying in other tongues. Now, I'm going to tell all of you, you don't know very much about praying. None of us know very much about it. We really don't know very much about praying. Because I think if we knew really more about praying, we'd spend a lot more time praying. We'd pray a lot more because we would see the power, the benefit, we would see the fruit of the praying. But our lives are consumed with trying to fix and figure everything out. And we're so like, I don't have time to pray because I got so much stuff I got to fix and figure out. Because you understand, there's so much going on. So we don't have time to pray. But in reality, if we flipped it around and we devoted time to praying, and even while we were doing other things, we still had a prayerful heart. We still had, you know, you can pray in the spirit doing a lot of stuff, man. I mean, when you're a mama with young kids, it's amazing, you know, what you have to pray doing other stuff. It's the only option you got. You pray. But you're praying with your ears open. You're praying with your heart open. You're praying and praying and praying. And you're allowing him to speak to you, and you're allowing him to talk to you. And then he will start showing you things in that book you didn't realize were in the book. Now, today, I've been praying since Sunday. Sunday, I talked to a guy who is lost, a guy who, an honest believer. God said, I just don't believe. I'm not against believing. I just don't believe. And I tell you, it really touched me. I just, oh, my goodness, got me right in my gut. And I have prayed hours since Sunday morning for this guy. And then today, I was just reading in my Bible, and I saw in Acts chapter 16, something I've read so many times, and I saw this in Acts chapter 16, got down here, and we got Paul and Silas. You know, I love Acts 16 because we get over there and we have the jail cells that bust open. But before you get to there, they go, had the Macedonian call. Y'all remember that? And they went to, here we go, verse 14. And so they're following out what the Spirit told them. Verse 14, this is what I saw today, Acts 16:14. I'm going to tell you, if you have somebody, any of y'all have anybody you're praying with, praying for that's not a believer, or somebody that's really stubborn, maybe they're a believer, but they're just not really following God. Here's what I saw. Verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. That's an important thing. Look at this. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. I never saw that before. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. And then when I read that, when I saw that, I thought, that's exactly what this fella needs. So I knew exactly what I needed to do. Father, I just ask you to open his heart. Father, I know it's your desire to inhabit him. It's your desire to know him and have fellowship with him. It's your desire for him to sit by me at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's your desire for him to be in the family of God and to find out who he's been made to be and to take on the image of Christ and to be his representative here in his world. And so I just ask you, Father, open his heart. The enemy's blinded his eyes, and I've dealt with that. But open his heart. Open his heart. I just in praying for him, I saw how I needed to pray for him. Sometimes you have to pray to find out even how to pray. Because you're weak. You don't see. You don't know. You don't know everything you need to know. Now, years ago, I heard an illustration. I think it really fits here. And it's the illustration of a guy who lost an important document. And he really needed that document. And so he looked through his office. Any of y'all ever lost something important? And you looked for it. And he looked through his office, looked from one end to another. People are smirking because some people lose things more than others, but grace. And so he's just looking, and he literally ends up going through every single file, not just every file drawer, not just every, you know, file. He went, took every folder out and looked through every piece of paper in every folder, in every file in his office. And when he got through, the conclusion was, it's not here. Some of us have had that same experience in our lives, looking for answers to issues, to problems that we have. It might be a problem with your kid. It might be a problem with your health. It might be a problem with your job. It might be a problem with your ministry. It might be a problem with your career. It might be a problem with your, you know, your husband. It might be a problem with, who knows, because we all got problems. But you look through every possible option and you cannot find the solution. Somewhere along the way, it should dawn on you, the answer is not where I've been looking. It's not here in man's understanding. And maybe it'll dawn on you at some point that you have to look beyond every natural place you've looked. Every friend, every website, every book. You know, I don't know about you. I'm a big believer in books. Y'all don't know this. Should I tell them? Last week, in just a few days, we got rid of 400 books from our house. Y'all, you can't even tell none are gone. And we have not even started. We still have no room for books. Am I lying, Maddie Sue? Okay. And I tell you that because I think the answer to life's problems are in a book somewhere. And now that I have the internet, my Lord, I can find it there. But it's not there. Because, put up the scripture, Proverbs chapter 20. There you go. Proverbs chapter 20 says this in verse 5, counsel, the answer, the solution, is in the heart of man is like deep water. Where's the Holy Spirit live? He is the Spirit of wisdom. Where is he? He's inside of you. He's down in you. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And I can attest to this. It's true. It's like deep water. It's like diving deep. It's not just sitting up on the surface. If it was just sitting up on the surface, we'd all have everything. It'd be common. It's deep. It's hidden. There's treasures, the Bible says, that have been hidden for us. But thankfully, a man of understanding will draw it out. How do you draw it out? You draw it out by prayer, particularly praying in the Spirit. And I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about setting aside time to pray. And I don't mean, 4 minutes. I'm talking about real time to pray. And it's like everything in the world is against you doing this, including your flesh and your sleep cycle and the people that come to your door and, everything. But I'm telling you, praying in other tongues is praying God's perfect will for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God who is within you, the Spirit of wisdom himself, the one who made you, designed you, made the blueprint, created you from dust, who knows you, knows how many hairs you got on your head, that guy is down inside of you. That guy has offered to pray through you his perfect will for you if you will open your mouth and give voice to what these little silly syllables that he's going to send up. Do you understand? It's that simple. And those little silly syllables that he's putting together are words. Some of them are human, languages. Some of them are angelic languages. I don't know. I don't care. I don't know what they are. I'm trusting him that there's something. Based on my own experience, I can tell you they are something. They're at least what Jesus said about his words. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And I have found those words to be spirit and life. And when I have willingly let him speak them through me, I have found spirit and life flowing up through me. And I have found solutions, wisdom, clarity, and I have found new things and creativity. And I found supernatural happenings, and I found power, and I found things changing, and I found things going away, and I found new things, I've just found I found life. And it's all just hinging on me and my jaw. But it's like everything in the universe is arrayed to keep me from doing it, to silence me. Exactly. When this is my answer. Now, I'm not talking about just, and I'm not talking about just, meanwhile, I'm making a grocery list. How many days till Christmas? Did he wear those jeans last week? I mean, this is, it may start this way, but at some point you have to settle your mind down. It takes a bit, you know. It's a discipline. You have to settle your mind, and you have to quiet your mind, which takes huge effort. Quiet your mind. That's one reason I think you can do some good praying in the middle of the night. Because things are kind of quiet and maybe it's not everything vying for your attention. You can do some good praying. Kind of quiet your mind. Focus on here. This is not some mind game. I'm not promoting some weird Eastern religion. I'm just telling you, this is the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Bible tells us we need to lean not to our own understanding. We need to acknowledge Him. How can we acknowledge Him if we're not listening for Him? I'm talking about just listening for Him. And He's inside of us. So you have to listen for Him. And while you're praying along, He may give you words in English. And you may be, oh, I thank You for drawing Him, Father. I thank You for drawing Him to Yourself. Thank You, Father, that just the way You drew those fish into Peter's net, You're drawing Him to Yourself. Because my heart is my head and my heart, they're tied up together now. I'm centering in on it. So then He can speak through me in English. And you'll be amazed what will happen and what you'll pray. And it may be about something, you know, for me, I've just been spending this extra time praying about this one particular thing in the last 3 days. But for you, you know, but I'm telling you, quit banging your head against the wall. When the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, He is within us. You know, I appreciate that y'all, many of you, trust us enough to ask us, hey, I'm going through this situation, I need some help. And hey, I'm very glad to give counsel. But I'm telling you, the counselor Himself, He's down there. He's down there, man. He's down there. He's not missing your call. And He knows, man. He knows what to do. He knows what you got to do. He knows what you don't need to do. He knows what the problem is. He knows how to get you where you need to go. He knows how to fix it. My goodness, what a mess my life would be. Maybe it still is. But what a huge, huge mess. Like Sharon said, where would we be? Where would we be without Him? I'm saying, where would I be without praying in tongues? You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. I'm going to tell you that. Not one of you would be sitting here tonight if I didn't pray in tongues. That's crazy. That's crazy when you start thinking about what praying has really done in our lives. Think about that, Matt. Think about your own life. You wouldn't be here in Augusta, Georgia if you didn't pray in tongues. Because it's in those times of prayer, God's doing these things and working these things in your life. He's creating your future in front of you so you can see. And He's equipping you and strengthening you and supporting you and giving you the information you need to bring things together. You know, there's a lot of tools and resources in the world around us. What are you supposed to do with them? Well, He knows if it's one you need and how to use it, what to do with it. You've heard many times Matt talk about the situation where he had three people in his life really fail him in a major way all in a few months, and it just sent him over the edge, and he basically just quit functioning. It was a really rough time in his life. This has been a number of years ago, and then now I'm left. I got four kids. We got a church. we've moved our church out of the building. We're in a temporary setup teardown position because we're supposed to, and we're in the middle of a big capital stewardship campaign, and we got a pastor who's AWOL. And I'm standing there like, what? And I didn't have anybody to call to fix the problem. So I had to pray. And I knew Matt needed help. I knew I needed help. I knew we needed some help. And I didn't know where to get the help. So I didn't even know how to get the help I needed. All I knew to do was pray in tongues. And then I prayed. The Holy Spirit led me and showed me what to do and showed me to call someone that I had met at a new parent dinner and called and said, hey, do you know anybody that's a counselor that we could see? And that's how I found the person to go see. It wasn't because I'm so, you know, it was not just like I opened a fortune cookie. God led me. And he led me because I listened. I sure wish I listened all the time. But he led me. Y'all, we're spirit filled. God lives in us. God himself lives in you. We sang about how we're overcomers and we're victorious and we have all. Y'all, the reason that we get to partake of that victory is because he leads us into it. And it's a process, and we have to persevere. Let's stand.